Thank you very much. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm actually, you know, I'm really kind of excited to be able to do this because I get to bookend now. So now I get to be the first person to freak you out. And then later on this evening, I'll be talking about Weird Ohio and those sort of things. And I'll be the last person to freak you out. So as you wander out into the parking lot, you can blame me if you start looking around the corner to see if things are going to come and get you. But since Jason kind of gave me this unique opportunity to kind of kick things off, I thought I would share a program that's kind of near and dear to my heart that I very rarely do. So you guys are getting the creme de la creme of my spooky side. And that is the spooky side of Abraham Lincoln. It's something that I've always been fascinated with. A quick little bit of background about me. I am the founder and director of the Ghosts of Ohio. We've got our little booth back there. We've got some members here. We actually just celebrated our 10th anniversary, which makes me feel kind of old. But we've been doing it for 10 years. I've actually been chasing after all things strange and spooky for over 25 years. So I guess this stuff was kind of in my blood. I am also one of the proud members. I am part of the Grand Order of Weird Writers. So I'm part of the Mark Morana, Mark Sherman gang of thugs who kind of roam the countryside for the Weird U.S. series of books. So I've co-authored Weird Ohio, Weird Indiana, Weird U.S. Although if you get confused, just they're all available to purchase. Just buy them all. You know, books make great gifts and all that sort of stuff. But we're here today to talk about the spooky side of Abraham Lincoln. And the reason is because ever since I was a kid, I was fascinated with history. The more twisted and stranger, the better. When I first started reading about Abraham Lincoln, I was always infatuated with this one picture. There aren't many pictures that are out there of Abraham Lincoln, but I always thought this one was like my favorite because he's got like this beatnik action going here. This is what kind of like set me down the path that Abraham Lincoln was an odd little creature. The interesting thing about Lincoln is that a lot of things come to mind when you think about Abraham Lincoln, certainly the Civil War, the Emancipation Proclamation, unfortunately being assassinated. Those are the things that they teach you in school, but the more you dig into Abraham Lincoln's life, the creepier it gets. For example, he was actually responsible for pardoning the first turkey for Thanksgiving. The whole idea where the president walks out on the front lawn and pardons a turkey, that was due to Lincoln. He was the one who started that. Abraham Lincoln's favorite song, yes, he did have a favorite song, it was Dixie. Those of you not familiar with that, that was the battle theme that the Confederates would march into battle with, yet that was Abraham Lincoln's favorite song. He was also the first president to be embalmed, and technically, we'll get to that in a little bit, he was the first president to be embalmed 5 times. We'll get to that a little later, but he was a very, very strange man. The Lincoln family, and we'll get to that in a little bit, they were all kind of weird and bizarre too. They were actually the first family to hold seances in the White House, which is a little odd. And then my favorite thing is that Abraham Lincoln's ghost is seen in more places and by more people than all the other presidents combined. So it's a little weird. When they actually come to, how did he get so strange? A lot of it comes that right from the very beginning, he had a bit of an odd youth. Abraham Lincoln was born in that cabin on February 12, 1809, to Thomas Lincoln and Mary Hanks. It was out in Kentucky. Right from the beginning, there seemed to be something odd going about Mr. Lincoln. For example, when he was 5 years old, he and a bunch of friends went swimming out in a nearby pond. He dove down to see if he could touch the bottom, and he didn't come back up for a rather long time. They dragged him out, and his motionless body was kind of placed on the shore, and while his friends kind of ran around frantically trying to figure out what they were going to do, he then suddenly just sat up and walked away, as if nothing had happened. When he would relate that incident later in life, he said that he felt that there were angels or spirits watching over him. So again, that's at 5 years old. In 1816, they relocated to Indiana, and 2 years after that, his mother, Mary Hanks Lincoln, she died from milk sickness, which is basically drinking milk that it's kind of snake root, which is a plant that cows kind of feed on, but it would get into the milk and it would cause people to die. And his mother passed away. Interestingly enough, Abraham Lincoln also drank quite a bit of that same milk and was fine. Nothing happened to him. After she passed away, Abraham Lincoln was very distraught over that, but then he started telling people that not only were angels looking over him, but that his mother's ghost was following him around. So again, this is something you don't really find in history books. And I lost my place here. Another interesting thing is that in 1819, when Lincoln was roughly about 10 years old, and obviously that's not a photograph of him, he had a very interesting job as he had to go out and take corn to the local grist mill. And he had this old swayback sort of horse that he had to take out there that he affectionately referred to as the old hussy. Not making that up. He would hook the horse up to the grist mill and it would kind of grind it, and because the horse was very old and not doing its job, he would smack it in the rump and say, "Giddy up, you old hussy," and apparently that didn't sit well with the horse because it turned around and kicked him squarely in the forehead. He flew through the air and then laid on the ground motionless again, not moving. His father was summoned, they took him back, they put him into bed. He was not moving at all. His breathing was very, very shallow, and it was at that point that they basically were waiting for death to arrive. The entire evening, he did not move. He just kind of lay there. The following morning, as family members and friends were kind of gathering to say their last goodbyes to Lincoln, a young boy went up and looked at the body, and he screamed out, "He's coming straight back from the dead." And they all looked over, and Lincoln's body was violently shaking. It did that for about 30 seconds. He then sat straight up, and he said, "Get up, you old hussy," and then walked out as if absolutely nothing had happened. Years later, it's interesting because several times he would always give the same response whenever people asked him, you know, what was the deal with that? And he would always say, yes, and I quote, "I was apparently killed for a time back then." Abraham Lincoln actually grew, I love this picture. Abraham Lincoln grew to be a man. He moved to Illinois. He started a successful career as a lawyer, and he also got involved with the Illinois State of Representatives. In November of 1842, he married Mary Todd from Kentucky. Interesting thing is that she was from a very well-to-do family, and they did not like Abraham Lincoln. They thought he was sort of, and his entire family was sort of beneath them. But Mary found Abraham, and she saw wonderful things planned for his career further down the line. And there's even some implications that she might have thought that there was an aura or spirits around him, but she was very into spiritualism, and as you'll see later, she kind of turned Abraham to the ghostly side as well. But an interesting thing took place in the fall of 1860 when Lincoln was actually running for president. He was up campaigning very, very late at night. He came home, he went into the bathroom, he washed his face, and he looked up into the mirror, and he saw his face looking back at him. There were also two other faces in the mirror behind that. Directly behind that one face, older. And then the third face, even older, and was ghostly white. They were all Lincoln's face. He went to bed. The following morning, he got up and he told Mary, "I think I need to get a bit more sleep because I'm seeing things now." Mary told him, "No, that is a vision. You are seeing a vision of yourself. That second face is telling me that you will be elected president. The third face is telling me you will be elected for a second term, but you will die in office." It's a little weird. It's a true story. Gets even stranger because, as we know, several weeks later, we have the 16th president of the United States. They move into the White House. Really creepy now, because as the leader of the company, you're allowed to get involved in country. You're allowed to get involved in all sorts of strange things. Now, the first family, when they moved there, it was certainly Abraham and his wife, and his still three children. There is Robert, Tad, and then Willie, the youngest. They actually had a fourth child, Edward, who died at the age of four, and we'll kind of talk about him a little bit later. Willie, 2 years after they were in there, Willie had actually died in February of 1862. He was out riding a pony and was caught in a rainstorm, and he died several days later, they believe, of typhoid fever. Things get rather strange is because after he died, Abraham and his wife were distraught, and they were staying up at nights just frightened with the idea that after the presidency was over, they were going to move back to Illinois. They did not want to leave Willie behind, so they didn't want to bury him, and it started kind of this controversy within the first family as to, what are we going to do with him? We're not going to bury him. Are we going to send him back to Illinois? And they didn't want to be without, as they said, their darling Willie. So a family friend who had actually had in Georgetown nearby in Oak Hill Cemetery had a giant mausoleum. They allowed the Lincoln family to put Willie's casket temporarily inside the mausoleum in the cemetery, with the understanding that after Lincoln was no longer president, Willie's body would be taken from that mausoleum and shipped back to Illinois. So that's a little strange. It gets even stranger when there are reports of Abraham Lincoln in the middle of the night walking out to the mausoleum, opening up the gates of it and sitting inside and crying and talking to Willie. So that's a rather strange and a sad story about that. This is also the reason that shortly after Willie's death, the Lincolns began holding seances in the White House. So they were the first family to actually hold seances within there. Another interesting thing is that during the times of the Civil War, Abraham Lincoln, in an attempt to rally his troops, would often walk out onto the battlefield, despite the fact that his advisors told him, you know what, you're there, even if we take your enormous, you shouldn't be going out there, because it's his dream, walking around out there. But he would tell people, it's okay, nothing will happen, it's not my time. Some people believe that he had actually seen visions of when his time would be. There is no actual evidence to suggest that, but there is an interesting story. During the Battle of Gettysburg, he actually went out onto the battlefield, and he refused because there was an incident where he actually had security guards with him, and he was kind of disguising himself, hopping on a train, and the local newspapers had a field day with it, so he decided he was never going to go with any armed escorts or anyone. He would just get on his horse and ride out into the battlefield. He arrived one morning on the battlefield minus his hat, and he asked one of the privates, he said, a ways back a wind came up and knocked my hat off, do you mind going back and getting it? And the private obliged and went back and did find the hat and picked it up, and smack dab in the middle was a giant bullet hole. So think about that. If it had actually been, I think they said if it was only 3 inches lower, he wouldn't have ever made it. So again, he just felt that it was not his time. When his time did arrive, it was at the Ford's Theater. It's a very famous thing we're all familiar with. But the interesting thing about that is the evening to go and say, dozens of people, it's estimated about 15 people, were invited to go to the theater with the Lincolns, including his son, his older son. Most people turned him down, though. Ulysses S. Grant and his wife, Julia, were invited and did say that they were going to attend. But then something strange happened. The wife, Julia, was getting ready to go, and she suddenly claimed that she had a vision of something and was so distraught that she broke down and she told her husband, quote, I feel as though something dreadful is to happen tonight. At which point they decided they were not going to go to the theater. The two people that did end up going, and we will talk about them in a few moments, but it was Major Henry Rathbone and Clara Harris, his girlfriend at the time, and we'll see the effect it had on them for it, but it ended up being just the four of them. The last thing that Abraham Lincoln is on record as actually saying as he was leaving the White House to go to the theater was to his personal assistant that had known him for years and years, that when he was leaving, he would always say goodnight to him. On that particular night, as he was walking out to go to the theater, Lincoln turned around, shook the man's hand, and said goodbye. Again, did he know what was happening? Don't know, but it's a very cool story. We do know, though, that what happened when they did go to the theater. The interesting thing is that once this happened, the country was just, you know, set into, the country was reeling. The interesting thing, though, is that afterwards, shortly after, they went back and they looked into Abraham, found something that he had written that kind of implied that he read that to you. I didn't put the words up on here because we don't like to read, so. But this was actually about 10 days ago, I retired late. I soon began to drink stillness about me. Then I heard subdued sobs as if a number of people were weeping. I thought I left my bed and wandered down, broken by the same pitiful sobbing, but the mourners were invisible. I went from room to room, but the same mournful sounds of distress met me as I passed along. It was light in all of the rooms, and every object was familiar to me, but where were all the people who were grieving as if their hearts would break? I was puzzled and alarmed. What could be the meaning of all this? Determined to find the cause of a state of things so mysterious and so shocking, I kept on until I arrived at the east room of the White House, which I entered. Before me was a catafalque, on which rested a corpse wrapped in funeral vestments. Around it were stationed soldiers who were acting as guards, and there was a throng of people, some gazing mournfully upon the corpse, whose face was covered, while others were weeping pitifully. "Who is dead in the White House?" I demanded of one of the soldiers. "The president," was his answer. "He was killed by an assassin." Then came a loud burst of grief from the crowd, which awoke me from my dream. I slept no more that night, and although it was only a dream, I have been strangely annoyed by it ever since. 1 week after writing those words, Lincoln was indeed killed by an assassin. And as his dream predicted, he was lying in state in the East Room of the White House. Now, things are going to get even stranger now, because what happened is after Lincoln was assassinated and his body was being prepared for the funeral, it was decided that he would be buried back in Illinois. It was decided that what they were going to do is, after his body lied in state in the East Room, in the East Wing, they would march him down out to a train. The train was then going to be loaded with his casket. It was called the Lincoln Funeral Train, obviously. Strangely enough, they did indeed go and remove Willie's casket, and he was also placed next to Lincoln's body on the train. It was there that Lincoln's body was embalmed for the first time. The reason that multiple times came along is what it was decided is that the train was going to retrace the route that Lincoln had taken to get to the White House. When they looked on it on a map, it was going to be roughly 1,600 miles. It was also decided that since the nation was mourning as a whole, that what they were going to do is they would stop at stations along the way, and if they were in a major city such as Columbus, the casket would be taken off and he would lie in state so people could actually come and mourn. So it was estimated that it was going to take roughly about 2 weeks to get Lincoln's body, as well as Willie's, from the White House to his final burying place. What they did is that they were retracing the route. Each time that they stopped along the way, two groups of people would jump off the train. One group would head in one direction looking for flowers. Another group would head in another direction looking for someone to help embalm the body and get a lot of ice. Because as you can imagine, we could say Lincoln, I guess, got a little ripe along the way. So his body was embalmed as the route was taking place. Something interesting took place in Manhattan City Hall. What they did is they actually caught a photographer up in the balcony trying to take pictures, Lincoln's body actually lying in state. Secretary of War Edwin Stanton actually managed to track the man down, grabbed all of the prints, and had them destroyed. Well, so it was thought, because roughly about 100 years later, as a high school student was going through Stanton's belongings, in a library, was fishing through things and came across the only existing photograph of Abraham Lincoln, that's not it, of Abraham Lincoln's body lying in state. It's a very, obviously it's a very old photograph, but you can kind of make out that is an actual photograph of Abraham Lincoln's body. Now on May 4th, the body finally arrived at Oak Ridge Cemetery in Springfield, Illinois, and his body was placed inside a temporary mausoleum because they were thinking about constructing a giant mausoleum for the entire Lincoln family. It would be the end of what they were calling the Lincoln Funeral Train, and it was the start of the Lincoln Ghost Train. Immediately after it had finally been disposed of, people that they were seeing the image of the Lincoln Funeral Train on the anniversary of it going through. It's been described as nothing more than a wind that you don't actually see anything. Some people have actually said that it did look like the actual bizarre, clearly urban legend type tales where there's skeletons hanging off the side and Confederate soldiers running along, just bizarre tales. But it's been going on, literally, reports of it have been going on ever since the train first passed through. The ghosts of Ohio were actually honored that recently, it was that we were invited to actually go out and the ghost train that passed through Urbana on April 29th. This was interesting to me because it passed through at midnight, which we originally thought was an urban legend, because like, sure, the night and up here, you know, we didn't think true. But we actually did go back and find in the records that it did stop around midnight because they hadn't accounted for daylight savings. So it really did go through. So when we showed up, it was fascinating because Urbana University actually were giving their students, gotta love them, were giving them, showed up to try to find the ghost train. So, you know, God bless America, there's still some really cool people out there. Apparently it is a tradition that all the people in this small town go out and they wait to talk to a lot of people. There they are kind of waiting. Interestingly, when you want to kind of find the tracks, it's not the actual railroad tracks that are there. Standing on is kind of, they refer to it as the rails to trails, where they pulled up, placed it by a, that's where the railroad tracks were. They went through. Interesting, because that is a picture of me setting up the night vision cameras. Because what we did is we set up cameras all the way going down the tracks, and then some of you have had the opportunity to check out our LabPro system, which if you haven't, it's hiding back. You can track down Mark. He'd love to tell you all about it once I give him the laptop back. But the idea was we were going to try to see if we could actually track something coming down the tracks. This was actually taken by a local photographer that it ended up being that picture and then that's myself and Mark. He's actually looking. It's a stage photograph. They were actually shining flashlights in our face for that. But that's us sitting down there in front of our command center, because you know, it sounds real cool when you say you have a command center. But those two pictures, that's when we found out that it is apparently very big news when you go out to try to look for Lincoln's ghost train. That article appeared in all the local newspapers. It was in USA Today. I think it stopped in 45 different newspapers, including, and I'm not making this up, but the Kuwait Times. So again, if you're going out looking for ghosts, there are people, you know, you're big news if you're going out looking for them. So we're not done getting even freakishly strange here, because there was an actual plan to steal Abraham Lincoln's body. It's something that for many years they did not talk about because it's really disturbing, but there was actually a plot that was put in place to try to steal it. What happened, as I said, this was the kind of the temporary mausoleum that they had put in place. 11 years later, in 1876, they still hadn't really done much to it. It was also during that time that an engraver by the name of Ben Boyd decided he was going to start a second career counterfeiting money. And he got caught doing that, and he was sent to prison for that. Now, four members of his gang or a posse, I don't know how many you need for a posse, so maybe it's a gang, I don't know, but four of his associates, they decided that what they were going to try to do is get him out of jail. So you think that they could try like a busting him out or something like that. But no, they decided what they were going to do is if they stole Abraham Lincoln's body, they could hold it for ransom. And the ransom would be that they wanted him to be taken out of prison. Their actual plan was going to be, the only good part about their plan that actually made sense is they were going to do it on election night, because they figured nobody would be near the cemetery. They would all be focusing on the election. That's really the only part that made sense. The parts that didn't really make sense are that they were going to steal it and they were going to take it up to Indiana and they were going to bury it in the dunes. And then they would go and dig it up, because they figured nobody would look for Lincoln's body in the dunes or something like that. The bad mistake that they did is about 2 weeks prior to them actually making the plan to go out and steal the body, they were kind of getting people together that were going to help out, and they decided that one of the best places to go would be the local bar. And they got really, really intoxicated and then decided to walk around and ask people, hey, you want to help us steal Lincoln's body? So the police caught on. Long story short is when they went out there on the evening, one of the members that was helping out was actually a police officer. What transpired, they did get into the mausoleum. They did break open parts of the coffin. They had then figured out that they couldn't really maneuver it. They started breaking the coffin up. It then becomes like a really bad episode of, I don't know, 1860 style cops. Because there is a shootout that takes place in the cemetery. And again, all of this is true. It turns out that the police were actually shooting at other police officers, and the culprits actually got away without the body. They were recovered in a bar several weeks later, so they did not actually get away with it. But because of that, it was decided that, okay, we better hurry up and build something that's going to keep Lincoln safe. This is what the Lincoln Mausoleum tomb looks like today. The strange thing, though, is that while they were building that, they couldn't really figure out where they were going to put his body for the time being. They kept it in basements, they moved it all around, they weren't sure where they were going to put it. It was actually buried under wood. They put it out in a shed somewhere, just, which is, again, they don't really talk about this because you don't want to think about Abraham Lincoln's body being kind of treated that way, but they did. His son decided that when his body was going to be placed into the mausoleum, he did not want anybody to ever have a chance to get at it and steal it again. So it was decided they were going to dig a hole about 10 feet down and fill it with thousands of pounds of concrete. They were also going to then put some steel cages around it because they didn't want anybody getting down in there. They got all of that in place. They had the 10-foot hole dug. They were all set. And then somebody looked at the rest of the people and said, how do we know he's really in there? And they all scratched their heads for a while and they said, we're probably going to have to take one last peek. And so they did. On September 26th in 1901, his casket was brought to the mausoleum. This is a photograph of them bringing the casket, which is down there, into the mausoleum. When it was inside the mausoleum, a group of people, including his oldest son, Robert Lincoln, gathered around it. All in all, there were 23 people that were there, including his son, and they did open it up and look at the body of Lincoln one last time. The interesting thing is, as I said, his body had been embalmed 5 times. When they opened up the casket and looked at him, they were all shocked to find that they were looking at Abraham Lincoln they had come to know and love. His body was perfectly preserved down to the wart on his face. They said that it looked as though they were staring at a statue of Lincoln and not a corpse. Fascinating thing is that when they were looking at his body on what was remaining of his suit that he was buried in, they kept finding all these red blotches on him that they couldn't figure out where they had come from until they suddenly realized it was the American flag that had actually been draped over him, that had rotted away, but that he had still stayed perfectly preserved. So what you are looking right now is that if you go out to the tomb and you are looking at it, that is in the bottom of the mausoleum. It does appear to be a tomb and that there could be a casket inside there. It is not. He is 10 feet underneath that. It's just something that they put in place. When we look at all of these strange things that we've been talking about all these horrible things that have happened to Lincoln, some people wonder why. And when they point to a reason why, they blame it on what they call the Lincoln curse. So we're going to take a look now at some of the theories behind this curse and who could have been affected by it. Certainly, Lincoln was affected by this if it was a curse. But also his entire family was affected by it. We already talked about what happened to little Willie in the White House. But also, this is one of the few photographs that exists of Edward, or they refer to him as Eddie Lincoln. He was the first child, the first Lincoln child, and he died just short of his fourth birthday, which they thought, they termed it chronic consumption. He died even before President Lincoln was elected. Thomas or Tad Lincoln, he was the youngest of the four. He actually made it to 18 years of age. They believe that he passed away of TB, but it has never actually been determined what he did die of. Interestingly enough, he was supposed to go to the theater on that fateful night when his father was shot, but they decided that the play was a bit too mature for him, so he was actually sent down the street to another theater, but he was supposed to be with them. Robert Todd Lincoln, who is the only child that actually lived to adulthood, he is the one that they claim that the curse hit him worst of all. First off, he was supposed to go to the theater, but he was actually a military man, and he had just returned from active duty, and he said that he was too tired, but he was also supposed to go. And while he was not there for the assassination, he was actually there when his father did expire. So he was there, technically, for the assassination, if you will. As an adult, Robert got involved in politics. He was very popular with that. And in 1881, he was actually working as the Secretary of War for President James A. Garfield. On July 2nd, 1881, Garfield invited Robert to join him. They were going to take a trip up and around through New Jersey. They were leaving from the Baltimore Potomac Railroad Station, which is in Washington, D.C. Robert was running a little bit late, and so the president was basically standing there kind of waiting for him to get there. And Lincoln got there just in time to see President Garfield shot by an assassin. He died 80 days later after that. So that's the second assassination that Robert Lincoln is associated with. Because of that, Robert decided maybe he really didn't want to go into politics so much, and he decided he was going to become a lawyer. On September 6, 1901, President William McKinley, he invited Robert to join him at the Pan Am Exposition in Buffalo, New York. Again, Robert was running a little bit late. McKinley was sitting around waiting for him. And when Robert showed up, he got there just in time to see McKinley shot by an assassin. Some people claim that he was actually there when the shots rang out. He was not. He was in the other room. But he did come and actually held the president's head up and waited for help to arrive. So there's your third assassination that he was associated with. Because of that, McKinley, Robert actually then decided he was not going to go to any more presidential functions for obvious reasons. A great quote was that when someone asked him if he was going to go to the next presidential function, he said, and I quote, "No, I'm not going, and they better not ask me, because there's a certain fatality about presidential functions whenever I'm present." Even his wife, Lincoln's wife Mary, did not escape the curse. The interesting thing, as I kind of touched on earlier, is that Mary was from a very well-to-do family. She was very well-respected. It is claimed that she kind of went a little off after Willie's death, and then after her husband was assassinated, she never recovered. She went into mourning for months and months. She would wear only black. She would come into these bizarre habits as she would go out and buy dozens upon dozens of children's gloves for non-existent children. She would purchase tons and tons of draperies that for non-existent windows. She became very involved in spiritualism. She claimed that Lincoln's ghost was actually following her around and was trying to communicate with her. Sadly, because of all of this behavior, and this is something that's not very spoken about very often, but it is true that her son Robert actually had Mary Todd Lincoln committed to a mental institution. So she was there for a short period of time. She was able to check herself out, but yes, she was indeed in an institution. As I said, she decided that since Lincoln's ghost was trying to communicate with her, but she couldn't really figure out what he was trying to say, she went and started seeing psychics and mediums. She actually fell victim to a scam artist, which is a very famous photo that was taken. That is Mary Todd Lincoln. That is supposedly Lincoln's ghost up there. And some people say that that's Willie over in the corner as well. As I said, this is a very famous or infamous ghost photo, if you will. So much so that Harry Houdini, who, if you don't know, it's a fascinating story that Houdini was also fascinated with the idea of trying to contact the other side. And when his mother passed away, he decided to go to mediums and then was very taken aback by the idea that some of these psychics and mediums were using the same type of parlor tricks that he would use in his shows. And so he actually went out on a crusade to kind of expose them. There is a fascinating book, Houdini, Magician Among the Spirits, where he talks about bringing the equivalent of like roadside flares into these seances and standing up and doing these things. So the reason I bring that up, though, is because Houdini actually saw this photograph and decided he was going to pose for his own version of it. So he had his photographers do that. And then P.T. Barnum, who was famous for the idea that a sucker is born every minute, he got involved in it as well, and he got his own little photograph that he was taking there. Now, the last two people we'll talk about the curse possibly affecting are Clara Harris and Henry Rathbone. As we said, these were the other two people that were in the booth when the assassination took place. Some people are saying that the reason that they were affected by the curse is because Major Rathbone actually attempted to stop the assassination, as kind of shown right here. Originally, he was supposed to be sitting. Rathbone was supposed to be sitting right when you went into the booth, but he decided he wanted to get a better view, so he kind of shifted over, and it's something that kind of haunted him, no pun intended, for the rest of his life. But when Booth when he heard the shot ring out, he saw Booth was there. They struggled. He tried to apprehend Booth. They got into a fight, and the only way that Booth was able to escape was that he pulled out a knife and started repeatedly stabbing Rathbone, and then jumped to the stage below. The reason why Booth actually broke his leg in the fall was because he was fighting Rathbone, and as he jumped, he got caught in the bunting right here. His boot got caught, and so when he hit the ground on the stage, he kind of snapped his leg there. So that's one of the reasons that they say that the curse sort of affected them. Now, Clara Harris and Major Rathbone, they were just dating at the time. What happened is after this took place, and immediately after the president's funeral, Clara, she returned to New York, and her family owned a summer cottage in Loudonville. She did this really bizarre thing because she said she could just not bring herself to part with the dress that she wore the night of the assassination, the blood splatter dress from the assassination. She hung it in her closet, and she would have her friends come over and they would just look at it. True story. Until the anniversary, the 1 year anniversary of the assassination took place, when she was woken up in the middle of the night by the ghost of Abraham Lincoln sitting there. When she looked at him, apparently Lincoln had a very good sense of humor because he burst out laughing and then he disappeared. Now the following day when she told her family that, they thought that she was all crazy, until the next anniversary came by and she actually had people there sleeping in the room with her, and they were all woken up by Abraham Lincoln's ghost laughing. She stayed there for several years. Henry, after they were married, couldn't stand the dress, thought it was just really freakish that she kept it around. When they moved away, he forced her to keep the dress behind, and he actually had the closet walled up. So he had it walled up inside there because he wanted nothing to do with it. Now in 1882, Rathbone was appointed the U.S. consul over in Germany. He went out there with his three children and Clara, and everything seemed fine. Although as the December holiday started rolling around, people started saying that Rathbone started acting a bit strange and started talking to what he claimed were ghosts that were following him around. On December 23rd, 1883, he came down. There was a bit of a Christmas gathering taking place, a family gathering. He looked around, he then pulled out a knife and tried to kill all three of his children. When Clara tried to intervene, he killed her. He slashed her to death. He then went upstairs and then attempted to commit suicide. When the police arrived and stopped him and asked him, why did you do it? He said that he did it because there were ghosts hiding behind the pictures in his house. The children survived. They were sent to live with relatives. Rathbone here was sent to a mental institution in Germany where he died in 1911. He was then buried in a German Hanover cemetery next to his wife. Many, many years later in 1952, since no one had been to the graves and they had been desecrated over the years, cemetery officials basically decided that due to inactivity, the graves were officially destroyed, which nobody really says what that is. So again, a very, very sad ending to Rathbone. Tragic thing. Interesting side note is that the house in Loudonville is still supposed to be haunted to this day. Now, after the murder slash suicide took place, family members who were still living in the house decided they had had enough of this. They broke open the door, they went into the house, unwalled the dress, they took it out into the front yard, and they burnt it. And they basically said they wanted the curse to end then and there. Say that it has, although some people do still claim that if you go in, you are allowed to sleep in the house, which for a very short time actually was a bed and breakfast. It's now privately owned. But when it was a bed and breakfast, it was reported that people would be woken up by the ghost of Abraham Lincoln walking through the halls laughing, accompanied by a woman in a bloodstained dress. Now, we'll save the best for last year. Abraham Lincoln haunts a lot of different places, but apparently his favorite haunt is the White House himself. Most of the activity is not that. Most of the activity is said to take place in the Lincoln bedroom. Interesting side note is that the Lincoln bedroom is the only room in the White House which is dedicated to a single president. But it wasn't always a bedroom. In fact, it wasn't Lincoln's bedroom. He used it as a library. But Willie did die in this room, and Lincoln's ghost is actually seen walking in and out of there, sometimes accompanied by the ghost of Willie. So, who has seen the ghost of Lincoln in the White House? Numerous presidents have. Theodore Roosevelt reported that Lincoln's ghost would knock on his bedroom door and wake him up at night. Herbert Hoover was woken up by the same knocking. Harry Truman couldn't stand the knocking that took place. And actually, when he was asked, is the White House really haunted by Lincoln's ghost? He replied, quote, yep, the White House is haunted, sure as shooting. LBJ actually claimed to have had conversations with Lincoln's ghost, believe it or not. And he claimed that Lincoln's ghost had a very dry sense of humor. He also claimed that Lincoln's ghost would give him advice. The advice that he would always give him, stay out of theaters. Not only the presidents, but members of the first family have reported seeing Lincoln's ghost. Calvin Coolidge's wife, Grace. And I always have to, just as like a side note, because since my wife always comes with me in all these presentations, I have to entertain her, because when she sits through these presentations, so she likes anything with fur. So I always have to try to get pictures of theirs. So Steph, that's Laddie Boy. But Grace actually claimed to see Lincoln's ghost looking out of the window of the Oval Office. She'd be walking out working in the garden or playing with Laddie Boy, and she would look up and actually see Lincoln looking back at her. Eleanor Roosevelt, she claimed that whenever she would go into the study, which was the Lincoln's former bedroom, that she would report feeling being watched by the ghost of Lincoln. Susan Ford, Gerald Ford's daughter, again, I don't know, but there's a dog there. I don't know its name. It's a first family dog. She actually claimed, and I quote, Lincoln's ghost ruined many a night of my sleeping in the White House, and I'll never want to sleep in the Lincoln bedroom again. Amy Carter, with cat. I'm not sure which is creepier, but you know. I love Amy Carter's stories because Amy Carter of seances. It's interesting when you look at the whole idea of, you know, having seances. You've got the Lincolns doing it, and then it suddenly didn't become popular anymore. Well, Amy Carter used to have sleepovers when she was a young girl, and she would invite all of her friends over, and they'd break out the Ouija board, and when they would try to talk to Abraham Lincoln's ghost, and then they would scare each other and be afraid to go to sleep. Maureen Reagan, she actually claimed that she did see Lincoln's ghost in the Lincoln bedroom. And while he's not pictured here, the Lincoln dog, that'd be really creepy. The Reagan's dog refused to go into the Lincoln bedroom. It would walk by, it would just turn around, sit down, hair would go up, and it would just growl. And it refused to go in. They would actually try to drag the dog in, wouldn't go in. White House guests reported seeing the ghost. Writer and poet Carl Sandburg, little side note, was actually Lincoln's biographer, claimed he never saw the ghost, but that he would walk through the building, through the White House, and could just feel his presence in different rooms. Richard Dreyfuss was actually invited by President Clinton to go out there, refused to actually sleep there, though. He said he was so freaked out by it that he had nightmares about it. The nightmares of the picture in the Lincoln bedroom of Lincoln, it's the famous picture of him, that he said that the picture would come to life and talk to him. So he had nightmares about that, even though he didn't stay there. Famous guest, Queen Wilhelmina from the Netherlands. This is a very, very famous story. When she was sleeping in the Lincoln room, she heard a knock at the door. She got up, she opened the door, and Abraham Lincoln was just standing there smiling. She was so frightened by it that she fell to the ground and fainted, and were several hours until people actually came and got her. She refused to set foot inside of the White House ever again. I have saved the best for last. Winston Churchill, very colorful character to begin with. He was spending the night in the White House, and he was sleeping, and then he decided that, everybody else is sleeping. Maybe I need a bath. Go and take a bath. So he went in there with his stogie. He enjoyed a very nice bath. And as the water was draining, he suddenly realized that he had forgotten his clothing. So he figured, you know what, it's the middle of the night, everybody's sleeping, I'm just going to make a mad dash. So which he did. Made a mad dash to it, ran into the room, and then turned around and was greeted by the ghost of Abraham Lincoln. Winston Churchill looked at the ghost, he looked down, saw that he was not wearing much, and then he said to the ghost of Abraham Lincoln, and I quote, "Good evening, Mr. President. You seem to have me at a disadvantage here." And then, proving once again that Abraham Lincoln, be it in death or in life, had a sense of humor, it is said that Lincoln's ghost simply smiled and then disappeared. Which, now that we've gotten to that, I will do like Lincoln's ghost, and I will now smile and disappear. Thanks, guys. I'll be floating around here. I'll be back later tonight.